needs a lot of great days. He doesn't need one great day. He needs a lot of great days, and he needs Mayfield to fall on his ass.
Yay. Bucks fans, dive in, buckle up. Here is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here, and we're fired up today. Sage patrolling out there at Mandatory Buccaneers Minicamp Day 1. He's got things to say. He's got stuff on his mind. There's been other things happening, and there's always plenty going on, especially this month at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, 0% financing for 72 months, Ira, on a new 2022 Escape or Explorer, which is fantastic, plus $1,000 of bonus cash on top of that. And I apologize, it's 60 months, 0% financing, still an amazing, amazing offer. And of course, at Bill Curry Ford, they'll give you a $500 gift card just for custom ordering a vehicle, no deposit. You get your own personal concierge. You can do it all online. Lifetime warranty on every new vehicle, all across Bill Curry Ford. Plenty of other great specials as well. There's too many this month, Ira. You can check them all out. Many other 0% financing offers. They are at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan, he's our buddy. He's our guy. He gives out the Ira Kaufman discount on top of everything else. And he'll help you personally as best he can. BillCurryFord.com. Check out those offers right now. Sean also, Sage, I told you about this last time, but now it's clear right there on the homepage, Bill Curry Ford. They will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer, or they'll give you $500 cash. Just that simple. Get all the details at BillCurryFord.com. Big Storm Brewery, Big Storm Brewery, Big Storm Brewing Company. They've got the greatest beers in Florida, brewed locally. Check them all out. All the beers at BigStormBrewery.com. Tap rooms in Odessa, off State Road 54, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, and in Ybor City, Centro Ybor, second floor, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center. Get your Bromosa. That's the top seller. It's in so many stores, Publix, many others. Big Storm Brewery. We've got all kinds of fun coming up with them this season, where Sage watches a lot of road games, hanging out with fans. We got other things coming up. BigStormBrewery.com. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration. It's that time of year, Sage. Storm damage, it's coming. You need to know who to call. Flood, fire, mold. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. We'll check in with them later. Ira, did you wear your sunscreen? Did you get a good snack out there? What do we need to know about mandatory minicamp? Did you care about the linemen at all? Kalijah Cansey? Or are you realizing, hey, this is underwear football and doesn't mean much? Devin White's there. As we speculated on the last couple of podcasts, he may just come and not do anything, and that's sort of what happened. What's your take, Sage?
Well, I showed up with a cast on my left hand and a Bill Curry cap and a towel across my shoulder. That's my standard for training camp. I figure I'd get an early start with mandatory mini camp. Steve, I saw two encouraging aspects today. One needs a little fleshing out. You've already mentioned it. The other is clearly something to be excited about if you're a Buck fan. Devin White showed up. Now, Steve, a week ago, you and I were in agreement that it's doubtful that you're going to see Devin White. Why would you? Why would you give up any leverage as weak as it is? Why would you capitulate? So, Steve, he showed up, but he didn't do anything. I asked Bucks PR for Devin White post-practice. They didn't make him available. All right, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Maybe White doesn't want to talk. Maybe. We'll see. What was clearly encouraging was on a separate field for most of the day was Ryan Jensen working out a brace on each knee, both knees, working out with a trainer and running what I thought was unencumbered, about as fast as Ryan Jensen can rumble. Nobody was blocking him, just doing sprints. But I got to say, I was encouraged. He looked good. It looked like he's in shape. He didn't look like he was in distress. You know, he was getting very careful circumspection by the staff, strength and conditioning coach. So, you know, I'm starting to feel good about Ryan Jensen. I think the idea is to get him ready for late July. Pads come on. They victory at training camp, Ryan Jensen should be good to go. I'd be disappointed if he's not. That's very good news for Buck Nation, but I'm with Lee. It was not a good day, I didn't think, for the quarterbacks. Too many mistakes, too many interceptions. They talked a lot, Steve, about Todd Bowles, Mayfield did. Todd Bowles throwing the kitchen sink at the offense. Steve, this is mid-June. Wait till Cameron Jordan is bearing down on Baker Mayfield. If he thinks this is rough, you know, he's got another thing coming. So a lot of talk about Bowles and his very crafty defenses coming from all angles. The looks that he confuses you with. Steve, if you're confused in mid-June in underwear football, wait till the Bullets fly.
I didn't get a whole lot out of underwear football practice because I never do. I thought it was interesting, and it backed up some of my thoughts when Mayfield said the offense didn't look so good today because they had the full defense out there. Actually, he didn't have the full defense out there. Devin White was on the sidelines. Shaq Barrett, of course, was on the sidelines. Was Lavonte David practicing? I didn't notice him.
He did practice a bit.
I know he was on the field, but...
Just to paint a clearer picture for fans, there's lots of obstructed views out there for media because you've got 90 players and coaches and trainers and staff and onlookers and guests, and not everything is visible. It's intentional. So you could know Lavonte David's there, but not know if he got in on certain series with 11 on 11. Maybe you saw him in drills, that kind of thing.
But yeah, the offense didn't look that great. I didn't see Mayfield make that many mistakes, but poor Kyle Trask. He picked the wrong day to have his worst practice of underwear football. Rick Spielman, the former GM of the Vikings and the Dolphins, yep, who now works for CBS Sports, and Steve caught the video, one of them where Spielman said, well, it's pretty clear who the number one quarterback is. Based off that practice, yeah. I mean, right away, was it Trask's third pass? Bad interception to Servacier Dennis, and who housed it. And it was a rough day for Trask. I thought he had been fairly steady, albeit nondescript. I thought he had been pretty steady through underwear football thus far. Today, he didn't look good at all.
Zage, to pile on that a little bit with the, you know, you and Lee just sharing what you saw at practice. Jeff Darlington, who the last time I saw Jeff Darlington, he was sitting at a swanky bar with Jason Light for about 40 minutes chatting it up in Phoenix. And I was in the area, wasn't stalking them, but they were in my line of sight in the way that was set up there. And so he's getting the scoop on the Bucks. He's got great sources. He was with the Bucks in town often during the Tom Brady years, and he was sort of ESPN's Tom Brady insider. So over the weekend, Ira, he says it feels like Baker Mayfield, quote, is imposing himself over the competition, and Darlington expects, you know, Mayfield to win it and has that lead. We heard what Bruce Arians said last time, saying that he thinks Mayfield has an edge. And today, like Lee referenced, Rick Spielman, who works for CBS, Sirius XM Radio, he was out there just to cover the Bucks today. You know, he's talking to people. He knows Light. He was a GM for a dozen years and crossed some years with Jason Light for sure. And he's sitting there saying Mayfield clearly was the number one quarterback based on what they saw. But they also did an interview with Mayfield. They talked to Todd Bowles, etc. As Spielman said, hey, no matter what they say, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, it feels like the worst kept secret in town at this point, Ira. I just don't know how it's going to actually look when they try to play it out.
You're not wrong, Steve. You're not wrong. I mean, they're trying to, keep up images that this is wide open. Both guys have an equal chance. They'll go into training camp from the same starting gate. We'll see who wins the job. Lee, it is a poorly kept secret. Everybody's weighing in. And nobody's weighing in on Trask's side. Nobody. As you said, Trask had a poor day today. He needs a lot of great days. He doesn't need one great day. He needs a lot of great days. And he needs Mayfield to fall on his ass, Lee. That's the way he can win the job. Or, God forbid, Mayfield hurt his ankle and all of a sudden Trask getting all the reps. Bowles isn't going to say anything at this point, Lee. Light's not going to say anything. Lee, you've made this point many times. I think it is critical. It cannot be overstated. Todd Bowles, and you can say this, you can say, well, 31 other coaches too. No, that's not true. Todd Bowles is coaching for his life, for his coaching life. Bill Belichick's not going to get fired. If he wants to retire, that's fine. But he's not getting fired. You know, Frank Reich is in Carolina, and he's not coaching for his life. It's his first year there, and he's got a rookie quarterback. He's not going anywhere after one season, even if they go, 4-13. Bowles is a different story. And Lee, you've talked about it. If you're Bowles, this is an easy decision. This isn't rocket science. You want to go with a guy that's thrown 9 NFL passes, or a guy who 3 years ago led a team to 11 wins and a playoff victory, scoring 48 points in the process against Pittsburgh and against a team that's known to play pretty good defense. That's the Steelers on the road. Lee, it's a poorly kept secret. I think very early in training camp, we're going to put a bow on this thing.
Kyle Trask is, I haven't seen as many practices as Bowles. I've seen all but one practice Kyle Trask has had that has been open to the media. He's never demonstrated he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. That's all you need to know. I'm not saying he's a terrible quarterback, although he's had some really terrible practices. I've yet to see him have a practice where you're like, that's the guy. If you want me to lie to you, I can lie to you and tell you he looks like Terry Bradshaw. He's just a guy. That's all I can say. He's just a guy. I don't even think he was the number three quarterback last year, honest to goodness. And other people on the Bucs beat have said the same thing. Now, I'm not anti-Kyle Trask. Hell, I wanted the Bucs to draft him. But I get to see anything about him where you say, this is our guy. This is the Bucs guy. The Bucs can challenge for a Super Bowl with this guy. I haven't seen it yet.
And Steve, one more, to put a point on it, Steve. And you guys write about this every day. Every day when I go to Joe Bucs Fan, there's at least one story. I don't know if it's Lee posting this or Steve posting it, but every day there's a story about a national scribe, a pundit, could be a broadcaster, could be a writer. And what they are saying is, we don't like either guy. I mean, every day you guys find somebody, some of them prominent names, with no axe to grind, respected voices in the media. Doesn't mean they're right. But a lot of people, Lee, don't think the Bucs have a quarterback at all right now.
Yeah, I mean, and those same people are absolutely convinced the Bucs are drafting a quarterback next spring.
Ira, what caught your eye out there? Who'd you like? Who'd you get some vibe on? Maybe you talked to some people. Who'd you like out there?
Godwin, the guy is such a professional. He gets his hands on a ball. It's his. It's not a tipped pass. I think he's going to have a sensational season. Lee, it gets lost in the mail on an 8-9 year that the guy caught 100 balls coming off surgery. I mean, that's kind of remarkable. Now, they led the league in pass attempts. I understand that. They did. They threw more footballs than anybody. But Godwin looked good again. He always does. He's working on his craft. He talked about it today. He mentioned guys like Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald in the NFL stratosphere. Kupp 2 years ago, the offensive player of the year. Donald's got three defensive MVPs. He's going to Hall of Fame. And it reminded me, Steve, I follow basketball pretty closely, the NBA. And it's like, every year Magic Johnson, once he was established as a superstar, he'd work on a part of his game. He'd work on a baby hook shot. By the way, one of those baby hook shots beat the Celtics in the deciding game in the deciding seconds of the NBA Finals. It was sort of like a mini Kareem shot. He didn't have that when he came into the league. He'd work on his outside shot.
Ira, that shot was only 43 years ago.
It was like 87, I think. So anyway, Steve, my point is, Godwin mentioned that, and he's a perfect example. And he included Mike Evans in that. Steve, I wish you were like that. You're at the top of your game, but, you can't relax, Steve. People are gaining on you. Don't look in your rearview mirror, Isbits.
All right, Ira. Not sure what all that means, but we'll go with it. Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration is family-owned, and they service the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond. Florida's ElitRestoration.com. Your home is your biggest possession. You love it. The values have skyrocketed. Same thing with your business property. You can't mess around if something's going wrong. Florida's Elite Restoration is who you call when you have mold. Mold is a killer. Flood, don't put it off. Do not put it off. Storm damage, fire. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. They're going to take care of you. They're going to work with you and your insurance company. and they're going to be your offensive coordinator. Make sure you get all the money that's coming to you so you don't get ripped off. It's a tough business. You need someone who knows what they're doing. They've got 25-plus years combined experience on the insurance side, so they know how to fight for your money. Florida's Elite Restoration. When you call, tell them Ira Kaufman sent you, Joe Bucks fan. And if you eventually move forward with their service after a free assessment, then you're going to get $500 back. And maybe that's money for your deductible, or it's just cash back. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Sage, bold statement from Todd Bowles, Mr. Competition, Mr. It's June and we're, you know, securing spots. Did not hesitate to say left guard belongs to Matt Filer, the veteran.
Yes.
Who came here from
as you predict.
And so he's the guy. It's his job unless he loses it. I don't think they signed him for him to lose it to, you know, Hainsey or Nick Leverett. So there you go. 6'6", 335 pounds or so, veteran, you know, successful in with the Steelers, got a good contract with the Chargers. He had a good year, strong year in 2021, not as strong last year. And here he is. He's healthy, durable. So I see it as an upgrade. We talked about this in the last podcast, but what do you think of Bowles making that statement?
I don't think he would have done it unless it was chiseled in stone. Bowles is not prone to those kind of flat, you know, declarative statements. Steve, when I asked you last week point blank, why do you think the offensive line is going to be better this year? You said, because this guy Filer is an upgrade on the left guard spot. It's the first thing you said. I think you're going to be right about that. And I've also said on this podcast, Lee, and I'm going to stick with it. I think everything's set. I think it's set in stone, Lee. I think Wirfs is going to be the left tackle. I think Gedeke's going to be the right tackle, Jensen in the middle, Filer on the left, and Lee, I got to think Cody Mott's going to win that right guard job.
I believe you're right, Ira. I believe you're right. And he's taking snaps to the first team, so that's a pretty good indicator in minicamp. He's taking snaps to the first team.
Lee, love to get your take on Bowles, you know, calling out Filer right there, but I have a feeling, Ira, that they sort of want to try to build that continuity quickly and not play games with as far as competition on the O-line because, yeah, Wirfs is at left tackle, and they got the veteran next to him, and Bowles isn't afraid to say it. Jensen appears healthy enough to play. How he'll play, we don't know, but clearly healthy enough right to get out there. And if they're going to hand the right guard to Cody Mauch and everybody and their brother at $1 loves Gedeke at right tackle, he's the guy. It looks like they don't want any competition there. Do you guys buy that?
I do buy that, Steve. I think you're right. And unity is critical with that unit. Absolutely critical. You don't need unity at wide receiver, but you need unity up front with those five guys. They got to work together. You can't have one lone wolf. Everybody's got to follow the plan, the scheme. And by the way, and I felt bad for Lee when I heard this. I did. I cringed a little for Lee DeKemper.
Uh-oh.
Lee, maybe I'm reading too much between the lines, but I heard this from Mayfield. I heard it from Bowles, and I think I even heard it a little bit from Godwin. They're talking about the running game, Lee.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about the running game. And again, it doesn't mean that they're going to run the ball, you know, like the Cleveland Browns run the ball. Or some other teams, very few, run more than they throw, very few. They're not going to do that. But, darn it, Lee, you're not going to see 730 passes from Baker Mayfield. That's a losing formula. There's no way they can win like that, Lee.
They shouldn't. I think we can all agree, if Mayfield's putting the ball up 40 times a game, that's begging for disaster. And I'm not saying that because I think Mayfield's a rotten quarterback. I just don't think he's you know, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Joe Burrow. Right. I don't think he's that kind of quarterback. So if he's tossing the ball up 40 times a game, that tells me they're losing.
That's right. A lot of talk about the run game, Steve. A lot of talk about it. I'll say it again. I think they're a little short in the backfield. I am not convinced they're not going to add another running back before the season starts.
Just FYI on the running game, and I think Ira will like this, a guy who got, pardon me, a guy who got a bunch of touches with the first team today, Keyshawn Vaughn. Bunch of touches.
Good for him. I want to see more of him.
Sage, got to throw a name past you. James Robinson, was released by the Patriots. Now, Bill Belichick has always been kind of weird with running backs, and who knows if he has something else up his sleeve with some of the veteran running backs out there. I still think, especially from what I heard last year, Leonard Fournette could be a possibility there. He went to visit the Patriots last year. Supposedly they really, really liked him, and the Bucs were in a real hurry to sign him after Tom Brady found out he was visiting Belichick and all that. But James Robinson, Sage, undrafted and had a 1,000-yard season for Jacksonville. And then the next year came back in 2021, averaged 4.7 yards a carry, 8 touchdowns. He catches the ball. And last year he was sort of caught in a weird spot with Etienne coming back with Jacksonville. They traded him at midseason. He went to the Jets, didn't really play much. And then he got a deal in free agency from the Patriots. But the guy's got low mileage, and he's proven it. I mean, he took over for Leonard Fournette with a crappy team and had 1,000 yards on the ground, 4.5 yards a carry, caught 50 balls, 10 touchdowns with a bad football team. And here he is at 24 years old, hitting the market, and he's an interesting guy. Do you think they may look at a guy like that? What do you think of him?
I'm all ears, Steve. And he doesn't come with a big ticket price, Steve. He's not Dalvin Cook. He's not commanding that kind of money. You know, Cook's beyond the Bucs' reach at this point. If he comes in, he'd have to be the number one. I'm not sure that Light's ready to do that to Rashad White. I am, but I'm not sure Light is. Robinson could come in and supplement Rashad White very nicely. I'm not closing the book on Vaughn, Lee. I'm not. I haven't seen enough of him. I just think they need help there. Edmonds, White, Vaughn. I think they need help.
Are running backs in the 21st century, are they permitted to break a tackle or to dodge would-be tacklers? Rashad White.
We haven't seen a lot of that, Lee. We haven't seen a lot of that around.
Yeah, I mean, people always whine about the offensive line. I'm like, you know, maybe that changed the rule I wasn't aware of, but I thought running backs were actually allowed to dodge would-be tacklers or to break a tackle. You know, I could be wrong, but...
You know who did a good job of dodging tacklers? But only as a receiver. Fournette did. When you swung the ball out to him, he was fairly effectively in gaining extra yardage.
Oh, yeah, he was yards after the catch. Very, very good. Very underrated. You know, I was surprised. I dug up that stat months ago, and I did a double take. Is this correct? He was one of the best running backs for yards after catch in the league. He was very good at that.
Steve, much more effective at making guys miss out in the open field than he is from the line of scrimmage. Much more effective.
Here's a stat on Rashad White. Like I said, the Warren Sharp guys of the world, they are very down on Rashad White, and this is one of the reasons. When Rashad White was hit behind the line of scrimmage, his average per carry was 5th worst in the NFL.
That means he's not making the first guy miss, Lee.
Nope.
Not making the first guy miss. Look, I'm not saying the guy's terrible, Steve, but to me, he looks like just a guy. And I want better than that, for the 2023 Bucks.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. You know, we've talked about how Rashad White loves the camera. He loves the spotlight. Yeah. He loves anybody who wants to interview him. He does a million interviews. He's been doing it since he got in the league. Now he's got a YouTube channel where I watch these videos and nothing happens, but I'm still watching. And he did a 23-minute interview the other day, Ira, on Fantasy Football Morning on Sirius XM. And, he'll just sit there as he'll talk as long as you ask him questions. And, you know, I can't knock the guy. Obviously he enjoys it, and why not? But he seemed to slip, Ira. You know, he seemed to slip and say something he wasn't supposed to say. So, of course, I wrote that up at Joe Bucks Fan. But he talked about how he's been working really hard on his hands this offseason, that, yeah, he was known for catching the ball out of college, but he's trying to take his hands to the next level. He's got a trainer devoted to that, hand-eye coordination and, you know, working with tennis balls and all kinds of things, reaction drills and whatever. And he said a big reason he's doing that is because the new playbook has a lot of empty backfields in it. And he said, we're going to have a lot of empty, I'm quoting, I'm going to have a lot of chance to be spread out and things like that and run routes and be able to go up and make plays and he talked about trying to win trust in the red zone so he can get those throws, get those touchdowns. He thinks he can win 50-50 balls. He did some of that in college and talked about Le'Veon Bell and all this other stuff. But a lot of empty backfields and look for them with this offense, which, you know, makes it even more interesting in however Canales is going to put this thing together. We heard Kyle Trask today talk about how the offense is going to be unpredictable. That's how he described it. And I sort of took that as, last year it was a little predictable.
Yeah, Steve, White better hope that Canales doesn't get a copy of that serious tape. Because, you know, it sounds like a very minor thing with the empty backfields. But, you know, these coaches are paranoid, Steve. They don't want to give anything to the opposition. You know what's ironic about this, Lee, is that as far as I'm concerned, watching Rashad White last year throughout the season, he was a little bit better receiver than I thought he would be, and he wasn't as good a runner as I thought he would be. I didn't think he did a bad job catching the football.
That's fair.
I want to circle back for a minute on Devin White.
Are you sure? Are you sure, Ira? Because I think I just heard you yawn.
No, Steve. I was just adjusting my cast.
Okay. Okay.
It's pinching. It's pinching my upper arm. Steve, Devin White. He showed up, but he wasn't a participant. He just showed up. Now, Lee's going to give us that old line from Monty Kiffin. Half the job is just showing up. you know, half the battle in life is just showing up, you know. So he showed up, Steve. But as you mentioned the other day, if he shows up, is it just for show? He didn't do anything. No drills. I don't want to read too much into Devin White showing up. Steve, I think it might be a way to avoid, getting pinched in the pocket. I don't want to read too much into this.
What'd you make of Todd Bowles saying, well, yeah, he's not practicing. I don't expect him to, well, he said, I don't expect him to practice, but, you know, he's running indoors and lifting weights. I mean, what is that?
Yeah. That he's not the only guy that missed OTAs, Steve. He's not the only guy that missed OTAs and is here for mandatory minicamp. So those guys are not doing sprints in the indoor facility. They're out there with everybody else.
I don't know. It just seemed a little strange. But
Bowles knew what to say, Steve. I don't think he quite knew what to say about White.
Do you think White will talk to the media? Will he try to use the media as a little bit of leverage? Like maybe tell him where he stands and how upset he is and why? And you think he goes there, or you think he clams up?
Well, Lee, I've already been 0-for-1 with White because I didn't think he was showing up this week. So I'm going to say we the media do not get Devin White this week.
I would be surprised if he talks. I think it's fair to say that the biggest media contingent was out there yesterday. He had a couple of national outlets, NFL Network, CBS, and almost all the Bucks people were there. The people that cover the Bucks, almost everybody was there. And, you know, obviously I think most of the people there wanted to talk to White, and they didn't make him available. So I think that's pretty obvious what's going to happen. He's not going to be available till this summer, if he shows up this summer.
Sage, do you think he does? Ira, do you think he does a private sit-down with somebody like Josina Anderson, some sort of controlled interview?
Excellent observation, Stevie. Happens all the time in these situations. You know, we're not used to that around here in Tampa. We don't see a lot of these type of situations, Lee. I think it's a credit to the Buck front office and the unity on this team. But it's a business. It happens all over the NFL. It's not a Tampa Bay problem. We're not too used to this, you know, disgruntled contract situations. We're not. We're a little spoiled around here because it hasn't been a big issue. Steve makes a good point. That's what guys do. Private, cushy, hand-picked, selected interview. And you get your point of view out there. Lee, I don't care what Devin White says if he does an interview like that. I don't think the majority of Buck Nation is going to be in his corner. I do not.
The cushy reporter you talked about, I would add to that agent-approved reporter.
Agent-approved. Very good, Lee. Very good. Agent-approved.
And I don't think Devin White's going to stay a whole lot. Well, you know what? You said the Bucks have been lucky because they haven't had much of that. Is it fair to say the only time there are, you know, contract hassles that are important, I don't know if important is the right word, notoriety, notable, you know, big names, you got to be a star. And before Brady came here, how many stars did the Bucks have?
Yeah, I think that's a point.
I mean, the last guy that did anything similar to that was Derrick Brooks, and he was a legitimate star.
And Lee, when you're going 6-10 every year, you know, it's tough to have a lot of leverage. It is.
We lost with you. We can lose without you.
All right, Sage. I got to run this past you before we head out of town. Now, the podcast is available at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. You can listen to them there. Plenty to catch up on if you're not up to speed. And, of course, you can subscribe. Some of them you can leave a review. Sage wants a few new reviews, he told me, when he was screaming the other day, freaking out. No, I'm just kidding, Ira. But people really believe, I think, that you would do something like that. You know, I want reviews. I want feedback. But you do enjoy the feedback. Sage, I got to ask you this. Next-gen stats data from the NFL, it could be manipulated in the sense of what they put together and share, because the NFL doesn't make it all available, only to the teams. But NFL.com shares stuff and compiles, and they used a bunch of data to figure out who are the top 10 defensive backs in coverage. And so I'm looking at this list and the breakdown and all the acronyms and the gobbledygook there. Bottom line, Carlton Davis, 10th in the league through the way they were measuring it in coverage. And fifth was our good friend, the new guy, Ryan Neal.
Right.
So there you go. Very strange, but they talked about that and how he was the first and only safety in the top 10. But he played closer to the line of scrimmage and, just had a really good year in coverage and was, you know, covering short passes. And, you know, sure enough, that's how good he was. So that really left me with a good feeling heading into the weekend, Ira. What do you have to say about that?
I like the acquisition of Ryan Neal. Not so much this tape breakdown, because I think it's very difficult to judge these defensive backs without knowing what their assignment was on a particular play. Lee, you're not quite sure what their assignment is. And I learned very early on, Lee, when I worked at UPI and I was covering games, and they wanted the game story. As soon as the game ended, you got to press the button immediately, and then you go downstairs, and then you talk to people, and then you write a second story.
Right through.
That first story, you know, early in my UPI career, you know, I'm 24 years old. I don't have a lot of experience, and I'm covering, you know, New York Giants games with Ray Perkins. Guys, a couple of times I mentioned that, you know, Drew Pearson caught this touchdown and beat so-and-so on the play. And then, you know, I come in the next day to East Rutherford, and somebody pulls me aside and said Drew Pearson wasn't that guy's assignment. He just happened to be the guy that was closest to him. And mm-hmm. you singled him out that Drew Pearson beat him. So you know the point I'm trying to make, Lee. It's very dicey, you know, without knowing the intricacies. But I think this is a good pickup, Lee, and especially because they had inside intel with Canales. And I think that's very telling. Saw him every day. You saw him play 17 games, whatever it was, and he played a lot last year. I think that guy's going to play a ton for the 23 bucks. I didn't think Keanu Neal was that bad when he was healthy. I didn't think he was bad. You know, Logan Ryan couldn't stay healthy, and they're not here anymore. I think this guy has a real chance to make a difference for that secondary.
Sage, we thank Bill Curry Ford for being the presenting sponsor for all of your work. BillCurryFord.com, an exceptional number of summer specials there right now. Most of them run through about 3 more weeks, so do not wait. Ira, you got a parting shot here, as we'll be back later this week with another podcast. You have a good meal coming up. What's in the refrigerator these days? What's going on?
All right, I got a little parting shot, Stevie. Last night I decided to let me call my good friend Rondé Barber. So I did, and he picked up. Hey, what's up, Ira? Of course, he doesn't call me Sage, Steve. Maybe you could do something about that. But he said, "What's up, Ira?" And I said, "Rondé, I just want to point out to you that I have not seen you since the announcement that you were going in." Getting a gold jacket. I haven't seen you. He goes, "Is that true?" I said, "Hell yeah, it's true. I didn't go to your day at the Valspar, you know, when you held court on Rondé Barber Day. I wasn't there. He didn't come to Arian's, you know, gala event, at least the dinner. And by the way, Steve, I just want to quickly mention, Bruce Arians wasn't there today. We'll talk more about it in a future podcast, but let's get used to that, guys. You're not going to see much of Arians. You might see him one or two days at training camp, maybe, but he wasn't there today. So anyway, I said, hey, Ron, are you coming out Tuesday for mandatory minicamp? You just coming out to watch the proceedings? He goes, nah, I got some, you know, something to do with Valspar responsibility. I said, what about Wednesday? You know what? I think I'm coming out Wednesday. I'll come out and I'll track you down, Ira. I'll track you down. Then I asked him about his party in Canton. I said, now look, John Lynch came up with Lionel Richie for entertainment. Are you going to top that? Not that I'm a big Lionel Richie fan. I'm not. But he's a big name, Lee. He's a big name. And Barbara assured me it's going to be one hell of a party, gentlemen. One hell of a party. So anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing Ronnie tomorrow. Maybe Sapp will show up. You never know if I get a bear hug from 99 or a glare from 99. You never know. That's what makes it exciting.
All right, Sage, and look, hey, we all know, we won't tell anybody, but we all know you're watching Lionel Richie on The Voice all the time with that quilted Afghan.
Oh,
you cuddle up with Afghan and the dog, and you're all set there. Ira, why was Bowles needling you?
He kept heckling you. You know, like CBS was trying to pull him away from you. He kept heckling you. Something about your cast. What was that?
I think he couldn't get over that that it happened on a tennis court. I don't think he considers tennis a contact sport, maybe not even a sport. I mean, you know, the guy's steeped in football, you know, football, NBA, but tennis. So he was kind of saying, it's time to give it up, Ira. And he couldn't believe it happened on the tennis court, Lee. But I made one point, Steve, one point. I said, Coach, I fell, I fractured my wrist, and I finished the game. I finished the game. That's what we do in Brooklyn, Steve. In Brooklyn, you finish the game. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. The King of Newport, Richie, has spoken.